Episode 38, NFL Draft Podcast. It's still weird. Post-draft.
It's still the NFL Draft Podcast.
Yeah, but it's just like it just feels like I don't know where we're going. I don't know what we're doing.
I get it. But listen, it's post-draft. There's still a lot,
to talk about.
We haven't
The problem is that I now officially just care about the 2018 draft.
So it's difficult to talk about guys that we
know. I don't care about them anymore. Like, it just shows the whole how useless this entire process is. Is that, like, I don't give one crap about anybody who just got drafted now. Like, I'm like, I hope Carl Lawson does well and Cordrea Tankersley.
But that's it.
Because those are my guys that were horrifically underdrafted. But other than that, like, I'm just starting tape on new guys.
You know me, man. I'm always rooting for the Miami guys, so.
That's true. But I'm like, I'm open to the show. I'm like, all right, what can we talk about this? Like, oh, Rolly Williams III retired. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
The Arkansas running back?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I didn't even get a chance to watch his tape for real. Like, I just kind of, like, know him a little bit. I feel like I got robbed of a good tape session.
I don't know. There's enough running backs, I think.
I know. I'm going to watch his tape anyway.
Just to, what he could have
He's
been.
He's going to unretire.
Why did he retire, though?
A neck injury. He had a neck injury in the spring game. He had another one his freshman year.
He's not coming back.
So that's two neck injuries.
He's going to be a wrestler now.
A wrestler?
Yeah. I think that's the easiest transition for anybody. Like, how many?
Yeah, but he's going to have more neck injuries.
No, look at Stone Cold. He was fine.
I don't think Stone Cold's fine. Stone Cold?
I think he's fine.
He made a character in which he just drank beer and hit women.
Well, he didn't have a neck injury and he's fine.
You don't know if he had a neck injury or not.
I think he did, didn't he? At some point.
All right.
Whatever.
We don't know anything. Rolly Williams. I'm very sad to see him go. I'm very sad.
I've got a little bit of news.
All right.
Mark Herzlich is moving to tight end for the first time since high school.
I just said I don't care about the guys who just got drafted a week and a half ago.
He got drafted like 9 years ago.
And you're trying to hit me on guys that were like, he didn't get drafted. He was undrafted.
Well, he wasn't drafted. But the reason I bring it up is because he's still in the Giants, right? Right?
Isn't yeah.
He? How many tight ends do they need? They just drafted one in the first round. They signed one in the offseason.
They have Jarrell Adams, who's still my boy.
They still have Jarrell Adams. They still have Larry Donnell. No, he's gone. But like
Will Ty. Yeah,
they've got so many tight ends. Do the Giants not know what tight ends do?
I think this is a Mark Hertz thing. I don't think this is a Giants story. I think this is a Hertzlick story.
But he's not going to get playing time.
He's not getting playing time right now. I had a friend. Rest his soul, because he has very tragically passed away since. But we played high school football together, and he was a cornerback. And when we got to varsity, he was just like, I could either be a backup cornerback or a backup receiver. And I've seen the hitting drills that, you know, coach put the cornerbacks in. So I'm going to sit here and run routes and walk out early and catch punts, like, just so the punter can warm up and, like, Yeah, maybe that's what Herzlick is doing. It's like, I want to extend my career a couple more years in the practice squad.
Because I don't feel hitting anybody?
And I'm going to do it by running five and outs from a three-point stance as opposed to, you know, linebacker drills. That could be the only
upside
here.
Maybe it works out for him. I don't know.
Today, we are going to talk about, whether I care about them or not, the 2017 NFL Draft. Last week, we basically just did an hour on quarterbacks. Yeah. So today, we're going to look at some of the other skill positions. We'll come back. Who do we liked? You know, big names. Do they go to a good spot for them? Maybe we'll try to parse out which guys will have some fantasy implications. Are you a fantasy football guy?
Of course.
I hate fantasy football. Hate it. All right. I'm being very negative. We're going to get into it anyway, and then we're going to come back with a May movie, Big Board. It's about time.
Yeah.
Start first. Who's the first skill position player off the board? Leonard Fournette. To the Jaguars. What are you thinking?
I think it's a good fit. The offensive line isn't terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No, there are worse offensive lines.
How many?
Maybe like three okay, worse offensive lines.
Put you in a terrible.
No, but I think he's effective enough where he can kind of get around that. And I mean, look, this year wasn't a good year for linemen. Maybe next year, you know, the year after that, maybe that they'll build around him. But they've got the pieces. The quarterback isn't very good. The receivers are all right. I mean, actually, the receivers are pretty good.
I don't mean to, you know, pimp out somebody else's article, but did you happen to read Mike Lombardi on The Ringer today?
I read him. I didn't read. I heard him talk about some stuff.
Well, he always talks about Bortles. Yeah. But he wrote an article just killing Bortles today. Mm-hmm. And just compared him basically to Ryan Fitzpatrick,
mm-hmm.
and just showed how Ryan Fitzpatrick is just better in like in every sense of the word, other than the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick was undrafted and Blake Bortles was a first round pick. And it was hilarious because if you watch Ryan Fitzpatrick recently, he's clearly been better than Blake Bortles.
Yeah. I think.
And Jets fans will go crazy because they still think he's the worst quarterback ever and that he ruined their season.
Was it
but
Bortles?
The Jets ruined
of course.
Fitzpatrick, not the other way around.
Was it Bortles that said, I'm not a natural football thrower?
I have no idea if he
said
that.
I think so.
That sounds embarrassing. I think you're making it up.
It's no,
fake.
I
fake news. Fake news.
We can look it up.
I'm not looking it up.
Well, let's just say he said that.
So I think, you know, I have mixed feelings because Yeldon was one of my guys coming out. And I think Yeldon got the short end of the stick, even though he had like 50 catches last year. So he was a bigger part of the offense than you would realize with his, whatever, 3.8 yards a carry. They're in a rough spot, the Jaguars. I mean,
they're just
gonna Fournette's
be,
a good
they'll,
player.
They'll get a top five pick next year, and then they'll grab some linemen.
It's kind of whatever. I want to stick with the running backs right now, just a few other guys who were, you know, big names. So
Dalvin Cook
to the Vikings.
I have mixed feelings about it because as soon as he got drafted, people were like, oh, is this the replacement for Adrian Peterson? No, it is not. How about that? I'm going to end it right there. There's the argument. It is not.
The Vikings had one of the most interesting drafts overall, and I know we're going to try to stick to skill position players, but you know, they had given away their first-round pick for Sam Bradford, so they're already in a hole. But short-term, they got so many good players.
They got starters.
Yeah, they got starters, and I don't know if we talked about this last week. I think that they got a lot of starters who 3 years from now are going to be thought of as terrible players, but they're guys who could probably start as rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Dalvin Cook's going to start as a rookie, get a lot of the
the carries?
Latavius Murray's can't get more than 15% of those carries, 20% of those carries. I still like Jerick McKinnon if they're going to use him, but
Matt
Asiata
is okay.
Asiata is out. He got to be out. Just get rid of him. You can't keep four running backs. You can't keep four running backs.
And he's the odd man out?
I would rather have McKinnon. McKinnon at least does something different. He's like shifty. He's a scat back.
Who'd you rather have between Asiata and Murray?
You just signed Murray, so I assume you're going to keep Murray.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Pat Elflin is going to be like a subpar center for a while. I think.
But he'll start.
Yeah, I think Jaleel Johnson's going to be like a okay defensive tackle who we, you know, 5 years from now is just a guy who's on his third team, but, you know, at least give you solid reps. You know, Danny Isadora is another guy who I think is going to start right away. He's your guy.
He's going to have a Pro Bowl career is what he's going to have.
That's like crazy. So they got a lot of guys, but what do you think? I'm hearing Dalvin Cook is like getting pushed as, if you don't think Deshaun Watson's the lead candidate for Offensive Rookie of the Year, most people are saying Dalvin Cook.
No.
He's going to have the opportunity.
Yeah, but so will some other guys. I mean, don't you think...
Isn't it absurd?
Fournette has the inside track on that?
Well, I think the idea is that Dalvin Cook is a little bit maybe more dynamic and that the Vikings are a little bit better. Which I'm not sure is totally true. But, I mean, I think the Vikings' offensive line is going to be horrific. Mm-hmm. I don't care that they brought in Riley Reiff and Mike Remmers. I think that Reiff will be good, but I don't think that they've done anything to improve that offensive line. Hot take, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if Dalvin Cook averages more than 4 yards a carry. I think you're gonna see a 3 point something under that yards per carry for him.
I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's accurate. I think, you know, even we saw it in college. He gets caught from behind a lot, and he's not
St. College, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Like he's.
That was weird that I said that.
it's not. I don't think it's weird at all. I think the offensive line he's coming from and going to is a big difference. He had gaping holes to run through in Florida State. Now, you know, those holes are going to close up pretty quick, even if they were gaping. And like, how many times did we see Dalvin Cook, you know, a hole closes up, he has to adjust and find another hole and make a move and break out. Not a lot.
I think he has better vision than you.
I'm not saying his vision is bad, but I just think, you know, I think the yards per carry is right where
I'm not trying to kill him for his career, and I know I was kind of low on him in terms of, you know, after the way he tested, and obviously he has people have character concerns about him. I don't, because I don't know a damn thing about him. But I'm not as smitten with him in the fit there. I think he would have been better served probably somewhere else, even if the opportunity wasn't as immediate. Joe Mixon, do you think Joe Mixon ends up being the starter in Cincinnati? They still have Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard.
They took him for a reason. They took him as high as they did for a reason.
Yeah, but on the field. Jeremy Hill's out, right? Jeremy Hill's out.
I thought it'd be Gio Bernard.
At least Bernard's a little different.
He can catch some.
He can do some things like.
Yeah, Mixon is a better version of what Hill. Hill would do. So that makes sense.
He probably replaces them both. He probably replaces them both.
I think he's another guy that could have a shot at offensive rookie of the year. I do. I think
I'm not saying statistic wise. How far ahead of the pack would he have to be statistic wise to win that award?
Well, the bar is set high now because of last year.
So. No. That's not what I'm talking.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about as a man who punched a woman cold in a bar. How much would he have to outproduce the rest of the pack?
He'd have to
beat them by a half yard per carry. He'd have to have 300 more yards, and he'd have to have 5 more touchdowns in the next.
That's accurate.
And then they still like they'd find any way to give it to Deshaun Watson or whoever else. Like he'd have to
if he has a like. Let's say he has the year that Zeke Elliott.
He'd have to have the year. Yeah. No, that's the thing.
Let's say he does though.
You better hope that there's not another candidate that's close in the discussion.
Yeah. Why can't we just let it? I mean,
Alvin Kamara.
I'm not doing it. Yeah. Okay.
Alvin Kamara. People are excited about Alvin Kamara.
There's too many people in the backfield.
What are the Saints going to do with
Adrian
Peterson and Alvin Kamara?
Let's say they didn't have Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram. When do the Saints run the ball anyway?
I think you'd be surprised. Mark Ingram's been quietly very effective for them. He doesn't have the high volume carries, but what happens, what the Saints have been doing is, Mark Ingram's been getting the type of carries when healthy that you would get to a lead back in like a running back by committee.
Mm-hmm.
But the carries that would go to your second and third back are just more passes.
Right.
So he's still getting like that type of workload. Of like a lead back, but not like a 300 carry back.
Who's the lead back right now?
It's gonna be Mark Ingram.
You don't think they're pressured to give the ball to Adrian Peterson?
Mark Ingram's in that offense, and he knows, and like they're just and he's been effective. He's been really effective when healthy. Adrian Peterson, he'll get his carries. If Adrian Peterson's hot, they'll go to him. But they're not gonna live and die by.
How many carries do you think he gets?
I think that if
you had to break them down, like if you had to say, like, would it be let's go by touches. Let's say how many touches would each back get? Because I'm thinking Ingram's gonna get
15.
That's it. Yeah. I was gonna say closer to 20.
No, Ingram gets 15. Peterson will get like 6.
Touches?
Yeah. Well, hell, you can't get him the ball any other way. It's not like you're throwing the ball. He gets 6 carries. He can catch. Okay. He can't catch in that offense.
Okay.
If Peterson's moving the ball on his first 4 carries, you might see him get to like 12, 15 carries. But if he got 10 yards on his first 4 carries, they're going to shelf him.
And so what does that leave for Kamara?
Punt returns.
That's such a waste. I mean, I guess
kick returns, punt returns, and they'll
such a waste.
They'll have him be like he might end up being the third down back if he could block. Which he probably can't.
That's why I don't like the fit.
But you know, Adrian Peterson, Adrian Peterson will be there for 1 year. Ingram can be gone in a year. I'm sure that Kamara is the guy that they want to go to eventually. As the season goes on, if Kamara is producing, he'll take over the lead role.
Okay.
But he'll say he could do more in the passing game. Christian McCaffrey. We skipped Christian McCaffrey because he's
wait. What that is.
What do you see from him? Break down his touches per game. Him and Curtis Samuel, put them together. And Jonathan Stewart. Tell me how that backfield works.
I mean, you draft them that high for a reason.
McCaffrey's taken every punt and kick return, correct?
I think you could give it to Samuel, too. I think...
So there's two rookies splitting time there?
No, but I think either... I mean, I think they're going to go with McCaffrey. McCaffrey's more dynamic. But as far as carries, I'd say, I mean, I don't think he's Curtis Samuel in the backfield at all. I think...
You think he's just a receiver?
I think he's just a receiver. I think...
You think he's a backfield and gadget plays? He like he does like the Tavon Austin thing where you probably give him like...
I go in
the
reverse.
You probably give him like 20 carries for the season?
Yeah.
You like know, in spots, I mean, just so the defense has to honor the fact that they can hand him the ball.
Right. They can line him up the way the Green Bay does with Ty Montgomery or... Well,
previously to Ty Montgomery making the full transition, you mean.
Right. Or the way Kansas City does with Tyreek Hill. You can see him like that. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to get... He's got to get somewhere between 15 and 20 touches if you want it to be effective. Whether you want to throw it out of backfield or hand it off to him, Jonathan Stewart. I think I don't see why they can't, because they're so different. I don't see why you can't give them the exact same amount of touches.
I don't know what happens to Jonathan Stewart, but if I spent the first round pick on a running back and then I spent a second round pick on a running back, I can't imagine they're going to be invested in giving Jonathan Stewart anything more than. We're gonna use the last of you.
10 touches a game.
Maybe. I still think that he's the best fit for that offense. Like
he
something's
starts.
Going on. Like when we talked about it, we're like, why does everyone think that McCaffrey is such a good fit in that offense? Because Cam Newton does not want to throw to slot receivers short, and he does not want to throw to dump offs out of the back.
Really wants to hand it off.
Granted, McCaffrey was one thing. When they went McCaffrey and Samuel, you're thinking, all right, they're going to do something different on offense. They're not going to roll out with the same offense that we were used to. Curtis Samuel might take some of that Ted Ginn role, but they're going to do some different things. I'm excited to see it because I have not seen a willingness for Cam Newton to throw the ball anything. He wants to take that big shot.
As soon as they made the pick, that was the first thing I tweeted was, you know, yeah, the guy that never checks down. That's the guy. Let's get him running.
Check down backs.
Yeah.
After that, who do you like? Just give me some other running backs that landed somewhere.
Foreman.
Foreman, who went to the Texans. He's going to take carries away from Lamar Miller.
Even though he is going to take carries away, they're different backs. So I do like the fit there.
I like Jerry McNichols. I think that the Buccaneers did a really smart thing. And this is the same thing we said about Doug Martin when we came out. Like, yeah, Doug Martin might not be super explosive, but he's the kind of back who could do a little bit of everything. He catches the ball a little bit. He blocks above average receiver, above average runner, above average pass protector. And it turned out that Doug Martin ended up being like a boomer bust running back. Am I wrong? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like if you have him in fantasy, you've gotten like 4 200-yard games spread out over 4 years, and then the rest of the time, like, he just gives you nothing or gets benched or put in the doghouse, or only time you hear him for like a 5 week stretch is when he complains about the nickname Muscle Hamster, which is hilarious.
That's a great,
great,
great nickname.
Now, I thought McNichols was kind of the same. Like, he was a little dynamic in college, but I don't think he's super fast, super explosive. He's the type of guy who's going to give you the 4.5 yards a carry if it's there, but if the offensive line is bad, he's going to be bad. If the offensive line is good, he might give you a little more. I like that he had a nose for the end zone.
Can he block in the backfield?
I think he blocks enough. I think he catches.
Because I think that's going to be important.
He's not going to catch the ball down the field. He's not going to be running advanced routes, but I think he'll catch the ball out of the backfield, no problem. I think that with Doug Martin missing for the first 4 games with suspension, I think McNichols has a chance to be that lead back early, and if he performs well, they probably stick with him until he hits the rookie wall.
I think the blocking in the backfield is very important because, I mean, Jameis Winston is going to have every opportunity to succeed. I mean, they already had Cameron Brate. They already had Mike Evans. They signed DeSean Jackson. Now you're bringing in O.J. Howard. They drafted who did they draft? They drafted a wide receiver, didn't they?
Yeah, they drafted Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin, right. So, I mean, I don't want to jump the gun too much, but like, from a fantasy perspective, I'm not drafting anybody from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because there's not enough footballs to go around, and Jameis Winston's not passing for 7,000 yards. So, I mean, unless you want to get Mike Evans for the touchdowns, I'm not drafting any of those guys. That being said,
I would definitely take Mike Evans. I would definitely take Jameis Winston, and I would definitely take O.J. Howard if I could.
O.J. Howard's not going to get that. The volume isn't going to be there.
Yeah.
What's he going to get?
How many good tight ends are there? 50 catches for a tight end is startable in fantasy.
I'm saying, but like if he gets 50 catches, that's huge. I don't think he's going to get that.
Maybe not. Speaking of blocking, because that's where you went, and I just want to stick there for a second. Wayne Gallman.
Yes.
I totally understand why he fell.
Sort of excited about it, in a way.
I love this kid. I think he's such a tough kid. I think he's been productive everywhere he goes. I think he catches the ball really well out of the backfield. He blocks like a monster. Not only does he block like a monster, he pass protects well. He lead blocks unbelievable. And I know that's not really a factor because you're not really going to put him on the field with another running back very often. His lead blocking was mostly on like quarterback leads with Deshaun Watson. But just the fact that I've seen him like put a smash on a linebacker in the hole to give Watson a little wiggle room. If the Giants are going to have enough problems getting all their receivers on the field with Evan Ingram, but if they wanted to go a backfield of Paul Perkins and Wayne Gallman and do something interesting, they could get away with it.
Is it a fair comparison? I'm going to throw a name out here. It's a Wayne Gallman. Thomas Jones.
That's unbelievably dumb. Why is it? Not unbelievably dumb. No, I don't mean to offend you. Is he Thomas Jones? Thomas Jones was a bull, man. Wayne Gallman's not a bull.
You seen his arms? He's got big arms. Right. Just like Thomas. Thomas Jones' arms were like
I can't talk to you about any Giants people, man.
Sorry. Once they put on blue, it's I forget everything. This guy
Wayne Gallman is never gonna like Thomas Jones had some 1,500-yard seasons or like 1,200-yard seasons.
Yeah, okay.
No. Gallman is never gonna beat out Paul Perkins.
He's never gonna beat out Paul Perkins.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he's the perfect guy. He's that perfect other back. And if he's the lead back, if Wayne Gallman's the lead back, the fan base loves the backup. And if you have a good lead back, Gallman will be Mr. Reliable as your backup.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Fine with that. I think Paul Perkins will give you a little pop.
I'm just saying, his arms are massive.
Yeah, I think that I'd love to have him next year. Not this year, he's going to struggle as a pass protector. He won't be bad because he's better than all the other rookies, but all rookies are going to struggle in pass protection. By next year, he'll be the type of guy that if he's just your third down back and you have to live with it, he'll play for a long time that way. Do you like either of the Williams, Jamal or Joe? I know Joe went to the 49ers.
Jamal I like more than Joe.
And Jamal went to the Packers. He's totally different Ty Montgomery.
You know the comparison on him?
No, what's the comparison?
It's a former Packers running back. What's his name? I had it. Just lost it. Never mind.
Ryan Grant. James Starks.
There you go. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know who I could see Jamal Williams being, and this is like high praise coming from me and probably not high praise for anybody else. If he could be like the Marion Barber III.
What?
Do you remember Marion Barber at Cowboys? Yeah. He was my favorite running back when he was in the league.
Why?
If you would have given me Marion Barber or Danny Tomlinson, I would have taken Marion Barber.
Okay.
Because you just beat the crap out of people. And he was never like the featured back for like so long in Dallas because they always had like Felix Jones or whoever else.
He would get hurt too sometimes.
Yeah, he did have injury issues, but he was like you couldn't take him. Like he was just like monstrous. Like one speed. Like I'm just going forward, and the first guy that comes is going to get punished. And he would do that.
Funny thing about Marion Barber, him and I think did he go to Minnesota? I think he went to Minnesota.
No, he was with the Bears.
No, in college.
Oh yes, he was Minnesota in college.
I think he shared the backfield with Lawrence Maroney.
I think he preceded Lawrence Maroney. Yes.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, they both had dreads. I remember thinking Maroney was a little bit better than mistaken.
Yeah, mistaken. Yeah. Marion Barber, who...
He had some good games.
He murdered the NFC East. Because he was just so relentless. And he did play with the Bears. And if anyone remembers, besides me, remembers Marion Barber... 15 years from now, it's for the role he played in Tim Tebow becoming a thing. Because the Bears are running out the clock on one of those games where Tebow is probably... I'm going to guess. I'm not looking up the stats on a 5-year-old Tebow game. But Tebow must have been 3-for-17 for like 19 yards.
It's the fourth quarter.
And whatever. And the Bears were winning like 10-6. And all they had to do was run the ball... and punt with, like, they would have ran the ball, 40 seconds come off the clock, and then they could have punted with, like, 30 seconds left in the game. And Barber trucks a guy and runs out of bounds after trucking him. And they have to punt, and Tebow comes back, and whatever. He scrambled around and won the game.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because he was such an excellent
player. And that's who Jamal Williams reminds you of?
Yeah, not the running out of bounds part, but he's a punishing runner. Yeah. I think that he'll do well in Green Bay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paired what about Joe Williams? What do you think of Joe Williams?
I've heard both ways. Some people are just like, he's the perfect one-cut back for the Shanahan system. Basically like Tevin Coleman. Not Devonta Freeman, who does a lot more, but Tevin Coleman, if you watched him with the Falcons, the beauty of him is, whenever he got the ball, he just started running in the direction of the end zone as fast as he could. He never made a move on anybody. He never tried to juke anybody.
Well, he's too fast. I mean, not too fast, but like
just like fast that's enough. It. Like you just see, he gets the ball and he just runs towards the end zone. Yeah. And then when someone tackles him, he just gets tackled and it's fine. But like the fact that he doesn't dance or anything, like it throws off everybody's angles and everybody is just running after him and. It almost becomes like a desperation, like, oh, I got to stop this guy. Mm-hmm. Like Williams might be that guy where he just gets the ball and he starts going down. But some people don't like that he quit football. Some people think that he was overdrafted.
Well, he quit football for a totally different – it's not because he didn't – it's just
– I have no idea why he quit football.
Because he – something about the honor code and he had sex at BYU.
No, that's Jamal Williams. Williams is Utah. Jamal Williams left football because of the honor code. Joe Williams quit and then it was unretired because they had injuries at running back.
Okay.
And he went nuts. One thing on Joe Williams'
both
side.
Both in Utah, by the way. Both schools in Utah.
Yeah. No, I totally, they're both named Williams. Yeah, they both start with J. Like, yeah, it's totally fine. Okay. The 49ers, I'm pretty sure, moved up slightly in round four to get Joe Williams.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
To me, for them to make the move to get him, and the way that Shanahan is with running backs, I have a little faith in Williams.
Well, all right. So it's him and Carlos Hyde, correct?
Right. But Carlos Hyde is old news.
I mean, you think they start the season, let's say...
Kyle Shanahan, by year three, will probably, if he has things go his way, the only player that was on that team before he got there will be Joe Staley and maybe like Aaron Lynch. Maybe, and then like Buckner and Armstead if they decide to keep both of them, but probably just one of them. I mean, you never know. Like, he might like find out that he likes a few more guys, but generally, he's looking to get his own guys in there. I think Lynch will be more pragmatic about it. Like, if Carlos Hyde is playing well, like, Lynch might say, like, oh, Jimmy Ward, Eric Reed, let's keep him. I think Shanahan is going to be happy to just clean house.
Are we moving to wide receivers?
Or? Yeah, we can move to wide receivers. Anybody else? No one else that you really are going to go crazy for, right?
Is Yerby still unsigned, by the way? No, right? I mean, he's got to be. It's been a week and a half.
Poor Joseph Yerby. He really messed this up, huh?
Yeah. I mean, what was it coming back to, really?
I mean, you're right, but...
Mark Walton's pretty much gotten the starting job at this point.
Even still, yeah.
He still hasn't signed.
I do not think that he signed.
That's interesting. All right, well, there's always, I don't know.
Somebody else. All right, receivers. Receivers. Corey Davis.
Corey Davis, yeah.
How crazy is it?
Yeah, they took him first overall?
Yes.
I mean, well, in the first, like that high? Yes, it's crazy. Very crazy.
First overall.
That's very crazy.
Why is it crazy?
Because you haven't seen what he could do since he was in college.
If you love the tape.
If you love the tape. I don't know. Right.
Let me put a scenario out here. Let's say he's not hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the combine. He runs a 4.45.
Right.
He goes to his pro day. He has average numbers. I'm not gonna say like he doesn't put up any numbers jumping wise that blow you away, but he doesn't put any red flags on there.
Mm-hmm.
They still had the interviews with him, they were able to talk to him. If that happened, would 5 be crazy?
Yeah. I think it'd still be a little nuts.
Would Mike Williams have been crazy?
At
5.
No, I think any receiver would have been crazy at that point. Any receiver would have been. That's very high.
Once you see the receivers go 5, 7, and 9.
But they only went 5, 7, and 9 because it started at 5. Had they gone.
Well, what happens if the Chargers take Mike Williams at 7, then the Bengals probably take either Ross or Corey Davis at 9. Mm-hmm. Where does John Ross? Does John Ross go 10 to the Bills? The Bills were in the receiver market in some way. Does he go, you know, it could have been many teams. Assuming, let's say
no matter what, they were going to end up being top 10.
The Titans, who their other choice would have been Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
Could Corey Davis or John Ross have gone to the Saints at 11?
It's possible.
If their corner wasn't there,
it's possible.
Apparently these guys were thought highly enough that they were going to go top 15.
That's very high for
I think part of it is the running backs, you could wait on a running back, which is why Dalvin Cook, whatever position it is, pass rusher, maybe they thought you could wait on a corner, because there's so many. Maybe the fact that there was three good, really good receivers and then question marks after that.
I see that.
It pushes them up the board.
Right. That's why I got
We talked about that going the other way a lot.
Yeah. That's why Zay Jones got pushed up a little bit. Cooper Kupp got pushed up a lot, I thought. But we'll get to that. Cool. I don't hate the fit. Fifth overall for a receiver is always like.
Apparently they couldn't. They probably, we talked about this also, that they were probably going to move down to 12.
Mm.
When the reports came out that Cleveland was looking to move up and that they had a trade in place, but once Mitchell Trubisky went second, Cleveland didn't want to move up anymore. We all assumed that was with Cleveland. Oh, that was with Tennessee. So then Tennessee might have been, maybe they could have gotten one of the receivers at 12. Maybe they wouldn't have had a chance at any of them, but
I like the fit though.
I just really like Corey Davis, and the more I think about it, is like if I have him ninth on my big board, and I think I probably would have had him if he worked out well. I probably could have put him as high as 5, 6, 7. His tape is great, and
we went crazy over it.
I understand the people who. Or I need my guys to be explosive athletes. I understand that he's not Julio Jones or AJ Green, but the tape is great.
No, we talked about it. West of Michigan games were.
What do you think he does in that offense? He comes in, he's the number one receiver, right?
Who else is there?
Tajay Sharp, Rashard Matthews.
Yeah, he's number one. What does he do?
Yeah, it's not really an offense that you would say is. A receiver is going to make a Pro Bowl out of.
Yeah. I mean, again, I haven't seen him since college. I don't know. He's not going to be the same guy in college as he was in the NFL. He's not going to do that.
I love the way he gets into the end zone, too. Another guy, touchdowns are a little bit random, but there's just some guys who, smell the end zone. And Corey Davis smells the end zone.
I'm trying to think of what numbers wise what his projection could be.
As a rookie, if he catches more than 60 passes, won't you be surprised? For Mariota,
that's a lot. Yeah,
he's not gonna be Michael Thomas.
But you know what though? He's not gonna be Michael Thomas. But there's certain games where a few games and maybe in a row that Mariota had where he was just balling out. So
yeah, but he's not balling out with 40 completions. He's balling out with
that's true.
Really efficient games. Yeah. And they want to run the ball there. Interesting. The same thing. And then with Mike Williams. I get why you draft Mike Williams, but if Keenan Allen is healthy and Travis Benjamin is healthy, and you've got
Inman
and Tyrell Williams,
that's the problem.
What's going on there? Keenan Allen is never.
He's
healthy.
Going. Yeah, he's going to get hurt.
I feel so bad. Keenan Allen is so delightful. He's really good.
When he's healthy, he's good.
Not only is he good, he's unbelievable to watch.
Yeah. I mean, again, kind of talking about the fantasy stuff, Keenan Allen, when he's healthy, is a PPR machine. 9, 10 catches a game. But he's going to get hurt. So, I mean, Mike Williams isn't going to come in and replicate that. He's not going to do the same things. But, I mean... I'd say he's in for if everybody stays healthy,
he could be anywhere. I'm not even going to try it. I think he has the same season.
30 catches.
I think that he has maybe like a Hunter Henry type season where you see him in the end zone a few times. You see him in the red zone. They'll use him. They'll find the spots. They'll carve out a role for him. But if everyone stays healthy, I don't know that he becomes that, you know, right, 50, 60 catch rookie.
Yeah. I mean, if a couple injuries happen, you could see him, you know, especially late in the season. Like he's the jump ball guy. He's the red zone guy. So, I mean, we'll see. John Ross now, I think.
I was going to ask, what do you think about John Ross in single coverage?
I'm trying to think of a corner in the NFL that can cover him.
That can run with him.
Right. Okay. There you go. Yeah. There are very few.
Will Fuller had 47 catches on 92 targets and 2 touchdowns. He dropped like about eight or nine dozen more touchdowns.
Eight or nine dozen, or eight or nine to a dozen? Eight or nine. That's a lot of catches.
Eight or nine dozen.
Yeah,
drops.
That's a lot.
You think John Ross? I think John Ross scores 10 touchdowns.
Yeah. They're just going to throw it up to him, right?
Maybe not 10 touches. I think they're going to toss it up to him.
Yeah.
I think that he'll be effective. If he's healthy, he'll be effective.
Is he going to be in the return game at all?
I wouldn't even waste him there.
Okay.
You got guys.
And the other receivers.
I would rather have Joe Mixon return.
It'd be interesting because, I mean, AJ Green's going to get a lot of attention.
AJ Green's going to get a lot of attention? Is that it?
I mean, obviously.
That's your hot take?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. He's great.
So you're talking about John Ross in single coverage, potentially.
It's going to be tough. I think that it's really – what it's going to be a nightmare for? It's going to be a nightmare for linebackers who have to deal with that, who have to deal with not having any safety help in the run game because those guys are going to be way back.
How would you play him? How would you cover John Ross? I have no idea.
You have to commit two guys to John Ross. I always thought that Darius Heyward-Bey got a bad rap when he came in the league. Like, oh, he's not producing, he's not doing this, he's not doing that. If you ever watched the Raiders, they were triple teaming Heyward-Bey. Not that they had to put like great players on him, but he was so fast, like you couldn't have a corner there playing by himself. Now the Raiders didn't have anybody who could hurt you on the other side, but teams were doing what the Patriots do, which is they put their two bad defensive backs on him because you need two guys to deal with his speed, and you put all your good defensive backs on the other. So, yeah, you put two garbage guys on him, but it has to be two guys. Are you gonna put two garbage guys on John Ross and leave A.J. Green single coverage against anybody?
No. And then on top of that, you know, you talk about the Bengals offense in general. If you put two guys on either one of them, or both even, like you said, linebackers have to cover. Linebackers have to play against potentially Joe Mixon.
The NFL is lucky that the Bengals are going to have a horrifically horrible offensive line.
Yeah.
They're going to lose to teams that can get pressure on them, and then they're going to pile up numbers on teams that can't get pressure on them if Andy Dalton can deliver the football. Any other receivers that you really like where they landed?
I do like where Zay Jones landed.
I think Zay Jones in Buffalo is nice. I think that he'll be – the problem is that he's really similar to Sammy Watkins, mm-hmm, in terms of the kind of routes that he ran in college. I don't know if he's Sammy Watkins insurance. I kind of can't believe that the Bills didn't pick up Sammy Watkins' 50-year option. I understand that he's hurt all the time.
He's really good, though.
Yeah, when he's on the field, he's been unbelievable. Yeah. They must really have a problem with the work ethic and the rehab. Because I would have taken a chance on his 50-year option if I at least thought, if this guy's healthy, this is what he's going to give me.
Yeah.
I loved Chris Godwin in Tampa Bay.
Yep, yep.
I think that's a great pick for a guy who could develop into something across from Mike Evans. Yeah, there's a few. I mean, did you like Stacey? I know you probably like Stacey Coley in Minnesota. I think he's got a shot.
He's going to return. He's going to return punts and kickoffs.
I thought Carlos Henderson in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good pickup, especially if they're probably going to see the end of Emmanuel Sanders or Demaryius Thomas soon. probably going to keep Demaryius. Yeah. But Carlos Henderson gives you that run after the catch ability that they probably have. If he turns into something that you can actually get the ball to him, he gives them a little flexibility there.
How about Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp to the Rams does nothing for me.
No?
Does nothing for me. I wasn't high on Cooper Kupp.
I just feel like he plays up to his competition. Yeah. And I just think that, you know.
I feel like he's slow.
Okay.
And he didn't have much competition. I much prefer. I think Josh Reynolds went to the Rams as well.
I think so.
Much prefer that.
Well,
I was a big Josh Reynolds guy. Yeah,
and that I know.
How about Juju to?
I thought that was where do you go?
Steelers.
Right, but okay. So who's the odd man out? Sammy Coates.
According to Martavis Bryant.
This definitely isn't Martavis Bryant. I think it
could be both. It could be both Sammy Coates and Martavis Bryant if Bryant continues the path that he's going. So the Steelers are just getting more guys. As a rookie, if Martavis is available, he'll be in there, and Juju will be the third guy.
I like it a lot, especially I'm just
okay with Juju. I think they were still overrating Juju a little bit.
But I mean, especially in an offense like that, I mean, he is fast. I like the potential for it.
Did you like Ardarius Stewart and Chad Hansen to the Jets?
It meant nothing to me.
I tell you what, Ardarius Stewart has a little bit of that Steve Smith, Keenan Allen in him.
Okay.
So the chances are that he just ends up being a tough guy who can't get open because he's not that fast, not that athletic. But if he turns out to be a little bit better of a route runner than we think and he ends up being Jarvis Landry, that pick looks brilliant.
When they made the pick, my first thought was he'll get plenty of opportunities because the receiving core in with the Jets isn't deep at all. I think he could be, you know, one injury away from getting some solid playing time.
Yeah, and Robbie Anderson just had the incident, so Robbie Anderson might not be.
It'll be
in the picture.
It'll be Eric Decker, Quincy, and unwind him. I think he could be the number three.
Any other receivers you like off the top of your head? I think that was it. Those are the guys I wanted. Yeah. D.D. Westbrook in Jacksonville.
That went under the radar.
It's weird. He does the same thing as everybody else there. What's the difference between D.D. Westbrook and Marquise Lee other than character issues?
I mean,
what's the difference between those guys and Allen Robinson other than a little bit more upside? Robinson obviously being the one who has the more upside.
Right, yeah. You know?
Allen Hurns isn't the burner that we think he is. He's more of a, you know, he gets the ball.
He gets somehow. The ball, yeah.
He was the odd man out last year, even though he's got the big contract.
Yeah.
I thought that was an odd choice, considering what they already have there and what they need. I guess he's probably insurance, because both Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson will be free agents soon.
I would imagine they keep Robinson.
I would imagine they keep whichever guy's easier to sign.
This is true.
And then D.D. Westbrook maybe gets a chance to kind of take over that role as that.
I'm surprised he fell as far as he did. I mean, I know that he's got the character issues, but
I think
he's
surprised that he didn't fall further because his character issues were different than Joe Mixon's. Joe Mixon had the one incident, not excusing it.
Westbrook had it's
one incident. See, there's a difference between are you not drafting him because he deserves to be punished, or are you not drafting him because you're worried it's going to happen again? I'm less worried that Joe Mixon is going to. Joe Mixon's undeniably a horrible incident, but
it was one time, and he's contrite, and he's shown that, you know, he's apologized for it.
I mean, he's as contrite as he can be. Yeah.
It never happened again.
Yeah, and he's never been in any other trouble.
Right, right.
As far as I know.
So you could chalk that up to a bad night. Whereas
I don't know what you want to chalk it up to, but
yeah, you could.
The point is that.
But Westbrook keeps happening. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. If I'm the Bengals, yes, I'm worried about the blowback that I get from drafting Joe Mixon, but I'm not really worried that in his third year in the league, he's going to do something else to embarrass me.
Right, right.
Like, he's already embarrassed himself, and he'll be embarrassed forever.
Yeah.
And the Bengals will be embarrassed forever for having him, because it'll always be, the first thing you say.
Mm-hmm.
But D.D. Westbrook's the kind of guy who's just like... I don't know anything about D.D. Westbrook other than the reports, so I feel like I'm crapping on him, and I don't want to. I didn't look at his character.
But based on the background, you could say Joe Mixon is less likely to mess up again Whereas Westbrook has shown a history of messing up, and it could happen again.
And he's got baby mom drama. And yeah. Like, he's got stuff that's following him.
And we don't know what the interviews
are like. Mixon has a video following him. Westbrook has...
Ironically, it's the I think for the if we 2, 3, 4 years down the line, when we're talking about these guys being in second contracts, people are still going to bring up Joe Mixon in the video, whereas we're probably not going to remember what it is that Westbrook did, even though he did a lot more.
Yeah, that video, that's killer. Tight ends, obviously. I love O.J. Howard.
Mm-hmm. David Njoku, yeah.
Njoku, I don't know what he does for Cleveland. Yeah. Because just the quarterback. But you know what? They have had some breakout performances from Gary Barnage. Like, they have shown the ability to get the ball to the tight end.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. What do you think Evan Engram does?
That's the thing, man. I'm just...
I just don't think he does enough.
Like, we talked about it before.
I think he'll be really effective for the plays that are designed to get him the ball. And I just don't know if there's enough ball to go around.
You're right. Odell Beckham is going to get his. Sterling Shepard showed enough where he's going to get his. Brandon Marshall has to get his, I mean, at some point. And then they got to run the ball. What's that leave for Evan Engram? Not much. It wouldn't surprise me if by halfway through the season, like week 8, 9, there's daily news articles about why isn't Engram getting the ball, or, if they lose and he gets zero touches, the people are gonna the pitchfork's gonna come out, which is why I didn't like the fit. I think, and especially because if we look at unless. There's two ways to look at it. I think if the Giants are looking to move on beyond Eli Manning, I could see it. But Eli, because if you look at Eli Manning, has always had the same type of tight end in his career. He's always had the 6'6", 6'7", not that fast guy, but the guy who's going to, post up in the end zone and, get touchdowns. He's never had the kind of guy who's going to, run crazy routes, elaborate routes, and get 50, 60 catches a season. Especially since I'm not saying it's why, but he's 6'3", like 234. So this is a different sort of tight end than Eli Manning's ever had. And I don't think he's going to get the ball. The last time the Giants had a starting tight end, under 6'6", I think it was, I can't remember his name. It was after Martellus Bennett, when Martellus Bennett had left. Kevin Boss was tall.
I don't remember who was there.
I can't remember who it was. But that guy. I think it was Zach. Was it Zach Miller? No, it wasn't Zach Miller. It was a complete 180 from the year before when they had Martellus Bennett. So I don't think.
They haven't had a lot of success with tight ends in general.
I mean, they've had some.
Not like. No,
Eli
Manning has not shown a preference to throw to his tight end.
It's like it's more of a safety blanket. It's more of a guy who third and seven.
Yeah.
You need a guy that's going to get yards.
Tight end does not eat first in an option. No. But you know what? Evan Engram might not be used as a tight end. I think he'll be effective on the plays that he's meant to be effective.
But even then, what's the volume there?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a high volume. I think he'll be very efficient.
Yeah.
Other guys, Adam Shaheen. I don't know what he does. Do you think that Mike Glennon plays?
Yeah.
Do you think Mike Glennon plays 4 games?
Yeah. I think he plays 16 games.
Do you think Adam Shaheen has a good season with Mike Glennon?
No. I don't think anybody has a good season on that team.
I think that Trubisky's starting.
Day one?
Maybe.
Nah. I think it's a redshirt year, man.
I think that would be a terrible idea.
Why would you give the guy $45 million and then go and draft
this? It's only 18.
It's only 18, but it's 45.
Yeah, but he's never going to see it because they're going to cut him after 1 year.
It was so dumb. Why would they do that?
It's weird.
Because it's not like you don't know you're drafting third overall.
I don't know. I think that Trubisky starts way earlier.
What happened? Everyone.
I think that Shaheen and Trubisky, I think there's something about rookies coming together. Andrew Luck loved throwing the ball to Fleener and Allen that rookie year. They have all those rookie mini camps. Mm-hmm. They have extra time together. They're just used to it.
And him and Fleener came in from the same school, so.
Yes, on top of that. I think that Trubisky and Shaheen will be much better, much more in sync than Glennon. I also think that Glennon is going to struggle no matter who he throws the ball to.
Who do you think that the Bears right now, who do you think that they want to start with? Like, best case scenario, they're like, both guys are the same, let's just say.
Of course they would want to. They would rather Trubisky be better.
Okay.
And I think that John Fox is...
I think...
Jeff Fisher...
I think they're stupid.
I don't know. Would Jeff... Maybe you see what happened with Jared Goff last year. But we're going to see Trubisky at some point. And it should be earlier than later.
You're that down on Mike Glennon?
Yeah, he's... Why would I be high on Mike Glennon?
I don't know, but somebody had to be to give him that kind of contract.
He was like a fourth-round pick 4 years ago. Barely played one season, split the year with McCown because he couldn't beat out McCown. When he did play, he was horrific. Has been bad as a backup since then, and now he's at 18 million. Why would he be good?
That's what I'm saying. Somebody thinks he is.
I think he is. Two other guys that I like before drop this. Jordan Leggett.
Yes.
For the Jets. Mm-hmm. The Jets.
Don't throw the tight ends ever.
Yeah.
But will he line up at tight end?
Yeah, I think he's a real tight end. I don't know if he starts this year. I think he should.
Well, who's going to start above him?
I don't know what happens with that team. That team's terrible. But I think they got a really solid player. He's kind of the same as Wayne Gallman. I know he's not going to blow anybody away, but I feel he's going to be the right spot. He catches the ball in traffic. He's tough. He'll be a good blocker. He'll do everything for them.
I think, just real quick on Jordan Leggett, I think that either Sam Darnold or Josh Allen should be watching plenty of Jets this year to kind of figure out how to get him the ball.
Yeah. Don't worry about getting him the ball because he's going to top out as like a 40-50 catch guy, and they're going to have to get a new tight end. But I really love the toughness he brings, and I think that he'll have a long career.
Okay.
George Kittle to the 49ers. I thought this was great. I thought this was a great pick.
Explain.
Kittle, first of all, I know he was not that productive at Iowa, but it's friggin' Iowa.
His name sounds like a guy that went to Iowa.
He's like 6'6", 250 pounds.
Does he wear a neck roll? He sounds like he wears a neck roll.
I think you're underestimating him just because he's a white tight end
from Iowa. No, I love white tight ends.
The best blocking tight end in this class other than O.J. Howard. But he ran a 4.52 at the combine. Apparently, he's a little faster than we have credit for. He can work in line at the Y. He can work out of the backfield. I think he could kind of be a dual threat as a fullback or a tight end. I think that Kyle Shanahan's offense is tailored for him to be the guy that you run the play action, fake the deep pass, check down to the fullback, and instead of having a regular fullback, now you have a fullback who runs a 4.52 and can make a play with the ball in his hands.
Okay.
So I think that he's just he is a really savvy pick.
I've got one. Gerald Everett. Is it Everett?
Yes, it is
Gerald. South Alabama?
South Alabama.
Patriots, right?
No, definitely not.
Who? Somebody?
The Rams.
Oh, never mind. I take it back. I thought it was the Patriots that took him. I take it back then.
I would definitely take it back. You know what? I have a lot of... Actually, that's false. I have a lot of faith in Jared Goff.
They took him high.
Yeah. He's a good player. I have a lot of faith in Jared Goff. I have a lot of faith in Sean McVay. Adding Josh Reynolds, Cooper Kupp, and Gerald Everett, like, I don't know how adding three rookies to the offense is going to work when you're paying Tavon Austin like he's Julio Jones. But
all right.
I get it.
Do you think that offense looks any different?
Offensive line's going to be terrible.
But the offense has to look different next year as opposed to last year.
I think the offense is going to be good.
You think it's going to be good?
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Okay.
I think Sean McVay... Look what Sean McVay did with Kirk Cousins.
Okay. But how much is that?
They got Andrew Whitworth at left tackle. Mm-hmm. I hope to God that Greg Robinson can play a little left guard. The offensive line will be improved. Jared Goff will be improved. Todd Gurley should be able to move the ball a little bit. I think that offense should be much better than last year.
Are you telling me, look, that you're making me think that I might want to draft Todd Gurley in fantasy if you have a chance. Good.
Don't do that.
Don't put that in my head, because I'll do it.
Don't do that.
All right, good.
Anybody else that you want to
talk about? No, I thought Gerald Everett was did the Patriots take a tight end?
No.
Why did I
two pass rushers, two offensive tackles. That was their draft.
That's such a
four picks. Draft. Four picks and none in the top.
No skill positions.
Two rounds, yeah.
That's such a Patriots draft. But no, I mean, look, I don't know too much about Sean McVay, but we'll see.
All right, that was an interesting comment that you just made. We're going to come back with the May Movie Big Board, and we're going to have to fly through it. All right. I feel like it's been a while since we've done a big board. I know we're a little bit deeper into May, but you know, NFL Draft podcast, so the NFL Draft had to get its due.
Of course.
But now we're back to the fun.
Mm-hmm.
May Big Board, we're going to do the same thing, 10 to 6, you're 10 to 6, and then back and forth 5 to 1. I'll start, I guess?
Sure.
Number 10, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Left it off my board.
Okay, good. We'll talk about it now. It looks terrible. I'm done talking about it. Number 9, Everything.
Left it off my board.
Okay. It's the girl from The Hunger Games who played Rue.
The little black girl.
Yes. And then the guy who is like the too cool to be there kid from Jurassic World.
I barely remember him. Okay.
He's the older of the two young men from Jurassic World. And the girl has got like that bubble boy disease, and then she falls in love with the guy. That's 9. 8, Pirate, Dead Man Tell No Tales.
I've got it.
All right, we'll talk about it when you get to it, I guess. Number 7, Lowriders.
Left it off. I saw it, left it off.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot to choose from, but yeah. Some movie about East L.A., Eva Longoria's in it. Is it Ava Longoria?
I think it's Eva. I don't know. Number 6?
So tough. I am going to say, I made a last minute change. Snatched.
Okay.
You have it on your list?
I do.
Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you have it on?
Number 10, five. Actually.
Okay, well, yeah. Good. Amy Schumer, Your Girl.
Yep.
Trainwreck.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
Great movie.
Great specials. One of my favorite comedy CDs.
Cutting.
I told you before, I sold my stock in Amy Schumer.
Yeah, I get it.
Nothing to do with it. Just, I think, it doesn't have to do with her talent. I don't know that the inspiration will ever be there again.
I think
mainstream does not suit her.
Yeah. Listen, I still love her. She's my girl. Until proven otherwise. Until she does, I'll give Snatched a pass.
I think that you put this too low, by the way. I think that this movie, this movie should be. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It should be funny enough. There's a lot of really bad movies that make you laugh enough that it's worth it. And I think this should be enough.
I'm still going to see it, but all right. Number 9, Risk. No?
Get it? Like the board game?
No. But it's
documentary?
Yeah.
I like you.
I like documentaries.
All right.
I think there's another one of them. All right. Filmmaker Laura Poitras gains unprecedented access to WikiLeaks.
Oh, this is the Julian Assange thing.
Yeah, yeah. Big fan of WikiLeaks.
Yeah, so is the president. Can we get the I love WikiLeaks drop?
You know what? I could. No, I'm not going to do that.
Right after the government did they decide that they're going to prosecute him?
Not yet. Give it time. Number 8, 3 Generations.
I saw this. I left it off.
All right.
It was too much for me.
Hoping to get support from his mother and grandmother, played by Naomi Watts and Susan Sarandon, an NYC teen, played by Elle Fanning, prepares to transition from female to male. I like the cast.
Yeah, that's fine. It was a combination of, it just seemed a little bit too simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
At least the description. I'm probably making this
up. If you had to guess, which one of the mother and the grandmother supports the transition? I'm going to say the grandmother.
I think I actually know. The grandmother is a lesbian.
Oh.
And she does not support the transition the mother does.
Really?
So, spoiler alert. That's what this is.
What a turn.
It doesn't get I don't think it has the wide release. So, I kept it off. Maybe I'll make it next.
Okay.
Maybe I'll make my June.
My number 7, Baywatch.
Okay, I got that coming up.
I literally wrote The Rock and Zac Efron on the beach.
Okay. I wrote basically the same thing, but we'll wait a while before we get to it.
Number six, Drone.
Okay.
Sean Bean. Sean Bean. I just want to see a movie where Sean Bean doesn't die. That's all I'm...
I don't think you're going to get that.
No, he doesn't die in this. He can't die in this.
I don't know, but I'm just guessing.
He's the main guy. He can't die in this. If he dies in this, I'll be upset.
He'll die. He'll find a way. He was the main guy in Game of Thrones season one, wasn't he?
It's true. It's true.
Spoiler
alert. But everybody dies on that show.
Spoiler alert. I remember Game of Thrones for some poor guy who really likes the NFL draft.
It's 2017. If you haven't seen season one of Game of Thrones by now, come on.
It is what it is. All right. Five. Alien Covenant.
Okay. That's higher than I thought it would be for you.
Into the first Alien. Loved Alien 2.
Mm-hmm. And then it just nosedive after that.
I never watched another one until Prometheus.
Prometheus is great.
No, Prometheus is one of the worst movies
I've ever seen. What? I love Prometheus.
What a horrific film.
Love Prometheus. Go ahead.
Horrific. But you know what? There's just enough there that I'll watch a new Alien movie.
And Billy Crudup is in it.
Yeah, I mean to Billy Crudup.
The Crudupersons? Are we still?
The Crudupersons. We're still in it. We're in the middle of it. You're five.
My number five is Pirates.
Okay.
I just love Javier Bardem.
I guess he looks. It looks like the ultimate paycheck movie for him.
Yeah.
Although, 2 hours with Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow is pretty much the only pitch that Johnny Depp has left at this point. I could do it. That's why I had a little lower, but not completely off. My number four.
And we talked about it. I was trying to cut you off, but we talked about it off air. The guy that played Al Capone in Boardwalk Empire is in Pirates. So.
The guy from Snatch.
The guy from Snatch.
Let's give him the guy from Snatch.
Tommy. I like dogs.
That was very good. My number four, War Machine. I'm really not into the Brad Pitt Netflix movie, but this is a Brad Pitt Netflix movie.
I didn't even see that.
Because you're not checking your streaming. You're going to miss another one of mine.
Okay.
It's a war movie about the Afghanistan War. I forget the name. It's based on a book. It's satirizing. I guess, lust for war.
Okay.
I don't really know much about it. It was pretty easy to get to the top four of my movies. What do you got?
My number four is Alien Covenant.
Okay. My number three, another Netflix streaming movie, which is obvious by the title, which the title is Handsome, a Netflix mystery movie. A Netflix mystery movie is in the title. It's a subtitle.
Okay.
It's written and directed by Jeff Garlin, starring Jeff Garlin as a, obviously, no offense to Jeff Garlin, not so handsome private detective who, I don't know, gets into some sort of hijinks, I assume.
Okay.
It's Jeff Garlin. I'm in.
Sure.
You a Jeff Garlin guy? Are you a Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I like Curb. Not for Jeff Garlin, though.
Oh, Jeff, great. He's great in everything. Daddy Daycare?
I don't know if I saw that.
Oh, you got to see Daddy Daycare.
Is that the one with Eddie Murphy?
Yeah,
I never saw that.
Oh, it's Pleasant.
Okay.
All right, you're number three.
My number three? So I made a mistake here. But I'm going to go with the way I wanted to, but I'm going to throw another one in there somewhere. Wakefield.
Okay. Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston.
That looks terrible.
I'm in. Bryan Cranston.
Did you watch The Infiltrator?
No. Oh yeah, that was I wanted to watch that.
Yeah, I wanted to watch it too, and then I decided I don't want to watch this.
Oh, okay.
Is Leguizamo in there? In that
Leguizamo?
Yeah,
Leguizamo.
Yeah, you say your way, I say it my way. Is he in that movie?
In Wakefield
or in Infiltrator?
I don't know. I never saw it.
I think it is. I think he is in the Infiltrator. I think that's why I don't want to see it.
He's in John Wick. What does that mean? It's great.
I'm behind on John Wick.
Okay.
All right. So any reason why you want to watch this?
I like Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
And it seems like an interesting plot. He's a lawyer that hides out in his attic for weeks. He only comes out when his family's gone. And
all right. Sounds. Yeah. I can't watch this. Number two, Baywatch.
This is very high. Why so high?
What's the downside of this movie?
That you already know what it's about, and you already know how it's going to turn out.
Who cares? Why is that important? Okay. Is The Rock going to be funny in this movie?
Yeah.
Is Zac Efron going to be funny in this
movie? Probably funnier.
Yeah, Zac Efron's...
He's
quite funny.
Super annoying because he's good looking too, and I don't like that. You got to pick one.
Alexander Daddario's in it.
That's... Okay.
I'm in.
Who's that?
She's from season one of True Detective. She's the one that... The young girl that Woody Harrelson was into.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm in.
Remember Bikinis? Pam Anderson's in it.
She makes a cameo, or she's like, legitimately in it?
Probably makes a cameo. I feel like this movie knows exactly what it is.
Yeah, everybody knows exactly what it is.
No, but I feel like there's one thing when everybody knows what it is, and another thing when the movie knows what it is.
Yeah.
The movie knows that this is, that the fact that they're making a Baywatch movie is hilarious. Right? Am I wrong?
No, yeah, you're right.
Like, they know that this is ridiculous that someone let them make this movie,
mm-hmm.
and I like when they, and they're going to lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
You're number two.
All right. My number two is Chuck.
Okay.
Liev Schreiber plays Chuck Wepner. I don't know if you ever know, you know the story about
Chuck
Wepner.
Yeah, he's the real Rocky.
The real Rocky. I'm very excited about this. Yeah. They got a guy that's going to play Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see an actor play Sylvester Stallone.
And they got, and young Sylvester Stallone, too. And they got a... I'm excited to see who they got. Pooch Hall to play.
I didn't see Chuck in any of these lists of movies that are coming out.
I don't know if it's like a limited release, but
I mean, it's out. Like, I've heard about it.
Yeah, it came out May 5th. All right. And
I probably would have put it on my list if I had seen it.
Yeah,
but like, I wasn't thinking about it.
Pooch Hall is playing Muhammad Ali, which is interesting because
I don't know who Pooch Hall is.
He you've seen his face, I think. If you, I don't know, doesn't matter. But anybody that, whenever somebody plays like somebody like that, I'm always like interested to see.
Nah, I know him.
Yeah,
he looks too young for Muhammad Ali. Ali wasn't even especially that young when he
fought Chuck Wepner. Muhammad Ali was like towards the end of his career.
He's 41. God, he looks like he's 23.
Black don't crack, bro. One of the, did you ever see Hands of Stone?
No, I wasn't.
The Robert of the Rand movie.
No.
Usher plays a really good Sugar Ray Leonard. Or Sugar Ray Robinson. Whichever. One of those two. Too many Sugar Rays. But go ahead. You're number one.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I already saw it.
What'd you think? Because I saw it too.
It was so good.
So good!
It was unbelievably good. It was way better than the first. It was way better than every other Marvel movie ever.
Yeah.
It. The plot didn't matter at all.
Super
they just
emotional.
Had fun for two. Was it that emotional?
A little bit.
For someone with daddy issues, maybe.
I think that's why I felt.
Is that your number one?
It is. It is. But I want to throw another one in there.
Okay.
So Guardians is my number one.
Yeah.
But Mr. Chibs, I'm super excited about.
What the hell is that?
It's a documentary about Kenny Anderson.
Kenny Anderson?
Yeah.
I'm out.
I've got a real funny story about Kenny Anderson. Real quick. Did I ever tell you the story about how I was on my way to work? I'm in my driveway, which we're right here. A guy comes up to my window. He's like, excuse me, do you know who I am? And I said, no. He says, well, I'm Kenny Anderson. And I was like, no, you're not. He's like, yeah, I am. Look. And he showed me a piece of paper with the words Kenny Anderson on it. And he asked me for a ride to a locksmith because he's locked out of his house or his car. I can't remember which. And I left. I drove away. And I worked, at the time, I was working about 15, 20 minutes away. And as I was driving, I was like, yo, what if that was Kenny Anderson? And it wasn't, but what if it was? But this movie makes me, this the trailer, the description made me think that it might have been. Because he's like.
How did you not know what Kenny Anderson looks
like? I know what Kenny, like, that's what I'm saying, that wasn't him. But now I'm like, what if it was?
He's a local guy.
I know. What if he was just so down on his luck that he was unrecognizable to me. That's why I want to see this. I want to see that. Because I remember the guy's face. What if I denied a ride to Kenny Anderson?
Then you're a hero. You could ride no Malloy guys ever.
You're right. You're right.
You're out, Kenny Anderson.
You're right.
You're out.
No Malloy guys. No Georgia Tech guys. No Nets. Get out of here.
This has been the NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Rob, at Rob DeRay.
At Funny Man Stan.
Email us at draftpodcast@gmail.com.
Tweet us at NFL Draft Podcast. Damn.
It only took us 1 year. This is the second week in a row. I'm going to make it 3 next week.
Oh, we did. We got it. I got it. I thought I got it wrong.
No, we got it.
Oh, look at that. Yes.
See you next week.